Sunday, March 22nd, Ian Costello here, coming to you from the temporary Coin Podcast studios that I have built in an effort to social distance and work from home as best as I can. We're going to try and do something a little bit different on Sundays, as the news of the coronavirus pandemic is going to be very painful and very difficult to comprehend a lot of the time. But we want to take some time, at least once a week, to take a bit of a deep breath and a relaxing look at a story you may not have heard about a person you may not know and how it's affecting their lives, too.
From our studios in downtown Portland, Oregon, this is a Coin6 digital exclusive.
Hi, Hannah Ray.
Hi.
Welcome back to the United States.
Thank you. I would say it's good to be here, but it's kind of weird.
When did you officially get home?
About noon on Thursday.
This week, I'm joined by Coin6 digital reporter Hannah Ray Lambert. She just had a trip of a lifetime to New Zealand and Australia, cut in half by the coronavirus. We talk about the country she left, the country she visited, and how everything had changed when she returned.
Welcome home.
Thank you.
Let's start here. When did you first realize you wanted to go to New Zealand?
Oh my gosh, so long ago. It's super nerdy, but I'm a huge Lord of the Rings fan.
No kidding.
And so is my mom. And we both love the scenery and stuff in it, in the movies. So pretty much ever since watching those movies, we're like, we have to go there and like hike in all of those places and see all of those mountains.
Now, did you just get that from the movies, or are you a fan of the books as well?
I have actually only read the first part of the books. She's read all three, so she's more well-versed in the Tolkien verse.
And New Zealand, for Lord of the Rings fans, is kind of a once-in-a-lifetime trip.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, it's a long way away, especially for us Americans, so it's not like you can just pop over there for the weekend.
So when did you start planning to take your trip?
I mean, we've been wanting to for a long time, but since we have limited amount of vacation and you don't want to just do a 25-hour series of flights for 1 week, so we didn't start seriously planning it until about 10 months ago, probably.
And it was always going to be you and your mom going together?
Yes. Yep, that was my thing. Because my mom, she doesn't travel a whole lot, and I don't think she's ever actually been out of the North American continent. She's a little bit of a nervous traveler, so this is kind of me forcing her to go.
So you leave first week of March and describe your opinion and your knowledge of the coronavirus as you were driving to the airport.
So at that point, you know, we were talking about it a little bit. I think we'd already done some of those hand washing how-to videos and stuff, and it was kind of in the back of our minds, but also we weren't taking it very seriously. We were like, oh, this is going to blow over in a week and we'll be fine. Like, we're not going to cancel thousands of dollars worth of plane tickets and accommodations and stuff.
What did you find when you got to Portland International Airport?
PCX seemed totally normal. I may have seen like one or two people wearing the masks.
So you hop on a flight. Can you get direct from here?
No, we flew up to Vancouver, Canada, and then Vancouver to Auckland. Apparently, Air Canada, they just started doing that flight from Vancouver to Auckland. This is their first year doing that.
And how long of a flight is it?
Probably like 14, 15 hours.
So that's a solid time in the air. Had anything changed that you could tell by the time you hit the ground?
Not that we were aware of. What was probably most striking to us when we landed was that there were a ton of people at the airport in Auckland wearing masks.
What did you intend to do first when you left the airport?
When we left the airport, we ended up going to actually straight to the beach. It was like a 2.5-hour drive to the east coast of the North Island. We're not into traveling in cities so much, so we kind of just wanted to get out of Auckland and see the countryside.
So you went through some small towns on your way to the beach. While you were gone, the news of the coronavirus swept into small town America to some extent. Did you find anybody there talking about it?
Not at that point. I think toward the end of our trip, we would overhear snippets of conversation, but at that point, everything seemed normal. Like, we were seeing pictures of grocery stores back home with all of the shelves empty. But that was not our experience at all. Everything seemed very, very normal.
When on your trip did it go from seeming normal to not being normal anymore?
Honestly, we weren't really worried until March 14th, so about 9 days into our trip. And that's when we were watching the local news because we'd been turning it on pretty much every night just to kind of see what everything was. And even over there, the news was dominated by coronavirus, mostly talking about Italy and other European countries and China and stuff like that. But then a little more than a week into it, we saw a breaking news banner on the bottom of the TV channel we were on that said that New Zealand was putting into place the self-isolation requirement for anyone coming into the country. So then we started to get a little bit worried because our next destination was going to be Australia, and New Zealand and Australia seem pretty closely tied together. They tend to do a lot of the same things back to back. So we started to get a little bit worried that Australia would do that next.
So you're 9 days into this trip of a lifetime and you are coming to realize that things are changing rapidly. What was your next 24 hours or so like as you tried to change your trip, make some decisions and that sort of thing?
So after we saw that news banner, we got a little bit nervous, but we didn't change anything right then. We were like, oh, we only have 4 more days until we were flying to Australia. And all of that was already booked. So we were like, okay, Australia, just hold out 4 more days. But then 24 hours after we saw the New Zealand one, we were out to dinner and my phone starts blowing up with my dad calling me, my aunt calling me. And that's when we realized that, shoot, Australia just did the same 14-day self-isolation requirement.
In effect, you're not getting into Australia anymore.
Pretty much. I mean, for an hour, maybe 2 hours, we were like, well, we could still go because we were just going to be staying with family anyway. So maybe that counts as self-isolation. But then we were like, well, we can't stay there for 2 weeks. Because the other thing that was happening was we were hearing about airlines suspending international flights. We might make it to Australia, but then we might not have a plane to get back on.
When did you decide it was time to start hurrying back?
Probably the morning after Australia announced its self-quarantine.
How much of your vacation did you lose?
I think we were going to be in Australia for like 8 days.
How would you describe any changes in attitude you found at the airport from when you arrived in New Zealand to when you left?
The Christchurch airport was pretty dead when we left, but our flight was at like 6 a.m., so that wasn't completely unexpected. The airport in Brisbane seemed to be the biggest difference that I noticed, because the second we stepped off the plane, there were these healthcare workers dressed like head to toe in plastic, and they had face masks on and everything, and they were handing everyone the self-quarantine paperwork and also just like coronavirus health tips and stuff. So they were right there getting every single person who came off that plane. And then they did have some additional security protocols there before we could get on our flight to LA, but they didn't ask anything about health, which I thought was weird. They just asked where you'd been and like if you packed your own luggage and stuff like that, which I thought was kind of weird.
You get back to PDX a little bit earlier than you had planned. What differences did you see in the people around Portland International Airport when you got back as compared to when you left?
Mostly how empty it was. Like our flight to PDX, there were more empty seats than filled ones on it. I think I counted them. There were a dozen or 2 dozen or fewer people on the plane with us, which was insane. And then in PDX, it's like, if you got to go through airport security, that was your day to do it. I saw maybe 2 people in line there.
And you leave the airport and you drive back to your house. What would you say you noticed in the communities around where you live and that you drove through that had changed in the 2 weeks you had been gone?
There were way fewer people on the roads, and, you know, saw a lot of my favorite businesses and restaurants and stuff with big signs on all their windows saying, we're still open for delivery, and with the phone number to call. And so it's weird because there's more people out than I sort of expected, but also just all the businesses have their doors closed.
In the end, are you glad you went?
Oh, I'm so glad I went. I just wish we would have gone a week earlier so we could have made it to Australia too.
Hannah Ray Lambert, thank you very much for spending some time with me. Stay safe.
Thank you. You too.
That'll do it for us today. Stay safe, social distance, take care of yourself, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
The Coin6 Podcast Network is your home for all sorts of content you can't find anywhere else. Visit coin.com/coinpodcast to see our entire library. And you can always subscribe to all of the Coin6 podcasts on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.